If you will, take your Bibles and turn to that passage that was read earlier from Joshua 24. I'm going to be looking at these verses together tonight as we consider the matter of choosing the Lord, or it's your choice. Nearly 200 years ago, there were two Scottish brothers named John and David Livingston. John set his mind on making money and did become wealthy. But under his name in an old edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, John Livingston is listed simply as the brother of David Livingston. And who is David Livingston? While John dedicated himself to making money, David prayed and committed himself to the Lord. Surrendering himself to Christ, he resolved, "I will place no value on anything I have or possess unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God." The inscription over his burial place in Westminster Abbey reads, "For 30 years his life was spent in an unwearied effort to evangelize." On his 59th birthday, Livingston wrote, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee." As we come to the end of our look at different sections of Joshua, that's really what Joshua's doing. He's calling the people of God. He's calling them to again dedicate themselves, to choose you this day who you will serve. And he makes, as it were, kind of three challenges to the people. The first is, remember your God. Remember what he did for you. We're going to look at that. Then he said, choose your God. He didn't say choose the Lord. He said choose your God. All right. You have to worship someone or something, so make your choice. And then thirdly, he says essentially, be faithful to your God. And that's what we want to look at tonight after I pray again. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we are reminded on every page of this book, your word, of your great grace towards people. Father, how you, from the foundation of the world, had a plan to save a people for yourself. And you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, and you have been calling people to yourself as long as there have been people. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity tonight to be instructed, to be challenged, to be encouraged. We pray, Lord, that your word would have your intended effect in our lives, not only tonight, but Lord, as a result of us spending this time together in the next days, weeks, even throughout our life. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first 13 verses of this chapter, Joshua is essentially saying, remember your God. Remember what he has done for you. Remembering is an important emphasis in Scripture, is it not? Isn't that what we're going to be doing tonight? Remembering. I remember the story of a man who was going to move, and his family was going to move. He got a new job and everything, but this man was very, very forgetful. And so he, his wife would leave notes and everything for him about where, whatever he had to do. And when it came time for the day of the move, he found this note, and it just was an address. And he didn't really understand what it was all about. But he drove up to this house, this address and everything, and he saw this little girl there. And he said, "Little girl, can you tell me what's going on here?" And she said, "Oh, Daddy, Mommy said you'd forget." He was a very forgetful guy. We can be forgetful sometimes in regards to what God has done for us. Joshua reminds the people what God had done as an encouragement for the future, but also as an encouragement to choose the Lord, to be faithful to him. So let's look at what in verses 2 through 4 he says, remember that he chose you. Terah, the father of Abraham, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. So he says, remember that he chose you. Abraham didn't choose God. God chose Abraham. Abraham didn't initiate this covenant. It was the Lord who came to Abraham and called him out of idolatry and out of his land and to go to a land that he would show him. Jesus told his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Believers were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, the scripture said, and are called God's elect. Warren Wiersbe writes this. He says, one of my professors in seminary used to say, try to explain election and you may lose your mind, but explain it away and you may lose your soul. The reality is that God is the one who initiates. He is the one who called Abraham. And so Joshua is saying, remember that the Lord called Abraham out of idolatry. The second thing that Joshua says is, remember that he delivered you. He chose you. He also delivered you. In verses 5 through 7, it says, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. God sent Joseph, first of all, to Egypt to preserve the nation of Israel. You remember, most of you, I hope, remember the story of how Joseph, even though he was sold into slavery by his brothers, which was a wicked thing for them to do, it was still God's purpose and plan to send Joseph there so he could prepare the way so not only the Egyptians, but the Israelites could also be saved. From what? They could be delivered from famine, from starvation. And then they went down there. Jacob went down there with his family, 70 people, and eventually it became millions of people, and they were enslaved. And so the Lord sent Moses and Aaron to deliver the nation from bondage. So Joshua says, he chose you. He delivered you. And then remember that he led you. He protected you. And he provided for you. In verses 8 through 13. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them over into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land in which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. What a God. He chose them, delivered them, led them, protected them, provided for them. What has God done for us? What has he done? Has he chosen us? Has he? He has. He has initiated, sent his Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins, having given his Son to save us. Has he delivered us? Yes. Has he protected us? Yes. Has he provided for us, things that we did not do for ourselves? Is that, again, is that not what we're going to celebrate tonight? What God has done for us? And what does the scripture say? When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we remember the Lord's death. until he comes. Remembering is a good thing. Because when things are good, we have a tendency to forget. But guess what? When things are bad, we have a tendency to forget. We just have a tendency to forget. We need to remember our God. Secondly, Joshua says, choose your God. Probably the most famous part of this entire passage, verses 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua uses God's faithfulness as well as God's greatness to essentially say to the people, isn't this a slam dunk? I mean, really, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to choose? You're going to choose the gods of your fathers on the other side of the river. Oh, by the way, those gods that the Lord defeated, those gods that the Lord delivered you from, are you going to serve them or are you going to serve the Lord? But if it's evil to you to serve the Lord, then serve those gods. But you need to choose. There is a choice that you must make. The gods of the Egyptians, you want to choose them? The gods of the Nile, the land and the sky, Ra, the sun god, was the great god of Egypt. He was thought to be continually embodied in the ruling Pharaoh. When God brought the people from Egypt by means of the 10 plagues, it was against the gods of the Nile, the land, and the sky that the plagues were directed. The plagues showed the Egyptian gods to be impotent. The gods of the Amorites, in whose land the Jews were living, these were horrible gods, like Molech, who demanded the sacrifice of newborn infants. Many of the gods were fertility gods worshipped by cultic prostitution. So you're going to choose those, or are you going to choose the Lord who loved you, who chose you, who delivered you, who has provided for you? The Lord was obviously superior to all those other gods, and yet it was tempting for the Israelites throughout their history to choose false gods. And in fact, apparently, at this time, they were still dabbling with some of these false gods. Otherwise, it makes no sense to say, put away these gods. I mean, what do you mean put them away? We don't have them. No, they were, in spite of everything the Lord had done, they were still tempted, enticed by these false gods. Aren't you glad we're not like that? Aren't you glad we're never tempted or enticed to give our allegiance, to give our love, to give our devotion to things that cannot save us, to things or people, allegiances to others that would enslave us? Temptations, all of the things that many people have chosen to serve today. The same challenge that Joshua issued to Israel is our challenge today. Choose your God. Who will you worship? Who will you serve? It's a challenge that each individual, each church, each generation must make. The third thing, and this is a little more by implication in the verses that we read. We didn't read the entire chapter. Basically, it's be faithful to your God. Remain faithful to your God. Now, in response to Joshua's challenge, the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And then they repeated what the Lord had. They said, we will serve the Lord. We didn't read this, but you know what Joshua's response was? No, you won't. No, you won't. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. That's what he says. He says, Justin, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And people said, no, 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 we will serve the Lord. Joshua, I think, was real, he was challenging them. Remain faithful. It's one thing to say, yes, it's one thing to make the decision. It's another thing to live it out day after day. How did they do? Not so well. History tells us. The next book of the Bible, Judges, shows us how they did. In Judges 2, 6 through 10, we read this. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Why didn't they? They hadn't been taught. Evidently, it had not been emphasized to them. Do you remember the scripture reading from this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 6? Remember that part that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Now, every individual has a choice to make. And we can teach our children and we can model for them and they still may make wrong choices. But this was a whole generation that did not know the Lord or what he had done for them. And if you know anything about the period of the judges, it was terrible. It was horrible. Why? Because it's not enough just to remember God and what he's done. Or even to say, yes, I will follow him, I choose him. We must remain faithful to the Lord. To follow the Lord for ourselves and to teach his word to our children and our children's children. I think it's instructive for in many ways that in Scripture, in the New Testament, well, actually Old and New Testament, the Lord uses marriage terminology when speaking of his relationship with his people. Of course, we know that in the New Testament, book of Ephesians, that where the Apostle Paul gives instructions to husbands and wives and talking about how the church is the bride of Christ. When I perform a wedding, I often, not always, but often say something like this. Legally, at the end of the ceremony, you will be husband and wife. But you must choose each day that stretches out before you that you want to live up to what that means. These vows you take must be renewed and practiced day after day for the rest of your lives. Same thing is true when we repent of our sins, put our faith in Christ, and commit to serving him as Lord of our lives. Now, on the one hand, the scripture is very clear that God is the one who keeps us, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But on the other hand, there are frequent challenges, commands to us to continue to pursue the Lord. Therefore, seeing that you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Pursue holiness. Pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We cannot rest on the decision, on the choice. We must make that decision, that choice, day after day after day. And in many respects, that's what we're reminded of tonight. Remember your God, what He has done for you. Choose your God. Remain faithful to your God. Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, let us say, as David Livingstone did on his 59th birthday, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to Thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are unable to keep our commitments in our own strength, apart from your grace and mercy, apart from the empowering of your Holy Spirit. Tonight, Lord, we pray that even as we remember what you have done for us in Christ, we would renew our commitments to you, to choose you, to not have any other gods before you, to love you, to serve you, to be faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.